Our 10-minute speaker is J.M. from San Diego.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jabe Mackey. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is January 15, 2009. For that, I am grateful. I have a home group. I have a sponsor, Doug G., who is here to keep me honest. It's only by the grace of God that I am able to stand in front of you today, the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, my story begins in a small farm town in southwest Illinois. And there wasn't much to do but to bale hay, drive combines, milk cows, and drink. And I did it with the best of them. So, you know, I remember the first drink that I took. My girlfriend was killed in a car accident my senior year in high school. And the following weekend, we had a rock pile party. So you take all your pickup trucks, you drive them up on the rock pile, and you drink until oblivion. And I remember that's the first night I blacked out. And I remember that's the first night that I ever realized that alcohol could do for me what I couldn't have done for myself before that. You know, I went to college, and when I went to college, the party was on. It was football, girls, and alcohol. That was it, you know. Luckily, I finished college, got married, had a family. I thought I was living the American dream. But, you know, like in the, like it says in the big book, you know, alcohol became became a more important part of my life. It turned from a social lubricant or something to do on the weekends with friends and family or at a barbecue. And I don't know when I crossed that line that they talk about, that line of no return. But what happened was that I woke up one day after a blackout and I realized that, you know, what I did the night before didn't matter. I realized that I needed another drink. And it went from wanting to absolutely needing a drink. And I knew I was in trouble. And that was actually the first time I walked into a room of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was 24 years old. My marriage was on the rocks. I was getting ready to be divorced with two young children. I walked into a room of Alcoholics Anonymous in Belleville, Illinois, in the basement of this old brick stable, former stable, and it was smoky and dusty and mildewy. And I thought to myself, man, I am nothing like these people. These people are, you know, they're sitting around smoking, drinking coffee. There's no way in heck I am this bad. And as a self-proclaimed atheist at the time, I'm a scientist by trade, and I thought not only did God not exist, but I thought that I had an explanation for God not existing. I saw the second step on the wall, just like you see here. The second step, it says, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And I'm no dummy. I know when you capitalize a word in the middle of a sentence, that means God, and you ain't tricking me into believing in God. So what I did was I went out and I experimented for another 8 years, you know. And, you know, my life is like, I'm sitting reading the big book. I'm rereading the big book with my sponsor now. And, you know, it's amazing how it's almost as if God wrote that book for me, you know. In my drinking career, countless vain attempts to drink like other people. You know, I did that for 8 years. It's not going to hurt me this time. You know, that stove that they say that's hot that you keep putting your hand on, but it's still, you think the next time it's not going to burn you, and you wake up with that sick, disgusting feeling in your stomach, wondering what you did the night before, how your car got home, you know, who is this laying next to me? You know, feeling in your stomach. And the problem was is that I didn't know how to stop, you know, and it told me that in the big book. Once I was able to sit down, and actually read the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, I realized that once I crossed that point, I was beyond human aid. There was nothing that was in me or in any other human being it a doctor, a counselor, a priest, a mother, a father, a child, that could prevent me from taking that first drink. And I hit my bottom. At 32 years old, I hit my bottom. And everyone's bottom is different. I like the way it describes a bottom in one of the personal stories in the back of the book. It says that one way of describing rock bottom is that what you just lost or what you are about to lose becomes more important than the next drink. And that was true for me. It was the fact that I didn't want, my mother grew up with two alcoholic parents.
And I, when she went to go visit her mother's grave, who died of alcoholic cirrhosis of the liver, I saw the look on her face. And the day that I came home and I told her that I couldn't stop drinking, the look on her face is something that I never want to see again. And that was my bottom. That was my bottom. I knew that I couldn't kill myself from drinking enough alcohol because I had tried. I didn't want to live the way I was living anymore. So I checked myself into a hospital. That was the only other thing that I knew. Someone somewhere told me that the hospital, St. Elizabeth's Hospital in Belleville, had a great recovery program, had a great detox, and that's where I went. Not knowing what was going to happen after that, not knowing how I was going to live my life without alcohol after that, but I had hit my bottom, and I didn't know anything else but to call an ambulance to take me to the hospital because I was going to kill myself. And I would like to say that was the last time I was separated from alcohol. I did have a relapse. But in that hospital, I was lucky enough to have an H&I group bring in a meeting. And it was very fortunate because there was a Greek Orthodox priest who was a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that was the first man who actually held my hand and prayed for my safety, you know, pray for me to get this. And, you know, if you announced yourself as a newcomer at the beginning of this meeting, I hope you find what I found here, you know. Don't leave before the miracle happens. Please don't leave before the miracle happens. You have a room full of individuals and a book that the first 100 of this fellowship figured out a way that you don't have to drink alcohol for the rest of your life. You don't have to obsess over it. You don't have to worry about it. All you have to do is have an unwavering faith in a God or a power greater than yourself that not only will solve your alcoholic problem, but will solve all of your problems. And that has been true for me, if you have faith. And so I took my first step in the hospital right there with that Greek Orthodox priest. You know, he prayed for me. And I don't know what happened, but I felt something. I didn't know what it was, but it felt amazing. And I found a sponsor. The sponsor sat me down, took me through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, he sat down, he told me his story. He never preached to me. He allowed me to prove to myself that I could no longer safely consume alcohol. Because there were those still, you know, maybe I can control it. Maybe I can, you know. But he pointed out in the big book where once I reached that point where I'm beyond human aid and I'm hopeless. And I was hopeless, guys. I was hopeless. You know, I checked off the two of the three things that happen to alcoholics, institutions and jail. You know, and it's only by the grace of God that I didn't end up, you know, where a lot of us end up, you know, because I was insane. To take a drink as an alcoholic for me is pure insanity. It truly is. It tells me that in the second step. And it also tells me in the second step that, you know, no matter, I have to put my faith in a power greater than myself. I have to. You know, I developed a faith in this God that allowed me to not have to drink one day at a time. And it's absolutely insane for me to think that I can drink safely. And then, you know, I took my third step. After developing and reading the big book and just doing what my sponsor did, that's all I did. You know, I did what my sponsor did. And they told me, if you want what we have, you have to do what we do. And I didn't want what I had. I did not want what I had. So I just did what he did. And it's funny, my sponsor is he's about a 5'7", 5'8", Puerto Rican plumber. So if you can imagine, you know, what I sound like, you know, 5'7", Puerto Rican plumber, it didn't fit. But it worked. It worked at the time. But through the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, my whole attitude and outlook on life changed because I allowed it to. And I was honest enough with myself to know that I can no longer safely drink alcohol and that there is a life beyond my imagination in the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was honest during my fourth step. I didn't leave anything out. I wanted God to take me to enter my heart and to allow me to be the man that my mother always wanted me to be. to be the father that my children always wanted me to be the husband that my future wife wants me to be. And, you know, I'm not perfect. And if you don't believe me, you can ask her after this little speech. I'm not perfect. But you know what? It tells me also that I don't have to be perfect. That all I have to do is put my faith in a God and to pray and be honest with myself. And when I'm wrong, admit when I'm wrong. And to ask for forgiveness and to act like, you know, I'm asking for forgiveness and to be taken to bigger and better things. I don't work with enough newcomers, so if you're looking for a sponsor, I'm more than willing to sit down and do exactly what my sponsor did with me. You know, guys, I have met some amazing people in this program. Larry, you're awesome. You're absolutely amazing. Doug, you're a godsend, bro. You really are. You know, the people in this program, you know, we are like the passengers of a shipwreck. You know, when camaraderie and joyousness pervade the vessel from steerage to captain's table. And that's what I found in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, so if you find you have a problem with alcohol that you cannot stop drinking, stick around, okay? Find someone to talk to. Just give it a shot, you know. Give it a month. Give it 2 months. Give it 6 months, one day at a time. If you don't like what you found here, I'll buy you your first drink if you don't want it, you know. But don't leave. Just don't leave before the miracle happens. Please. Please. Because as a reformed atheist who couldn't stop drinking, I live a life beyond my wildest dreams today. So thank you for letting me share.